Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Starting Five Podcast, SP Nation, Grizzly Bear Blues. I hope you all are staying warm and out of the ice. I am the One Piece Shark.
Slipping, falling, and can't get up. Please, I hope you're not like DMX out here, rest in paradise. But this your guy, Trev, the 3-and-D guy, reporting maybe for the last time from Dylan Brooks Island.
Oh!
Okay, I'll take it. It's really cheap, but now I gotta give it to the big fella because I gotta hear him laugh again.
Oh, no. Hold on. First and foremost, let's do introductions. Hi, guys. My name is Seven Shakir, aka the big man of the Star 5 podcast. I know good and doggone well that my fellow, if y'all are cold, you know, shout out to Memphis being an ice. I promise this podcast is gonna warm y'all up because I know good and doggone well the president, CEO of Dylan Brooks Island just. Are you putting in your card?
Given the reports that's come out recently, I think that the media may be pressuring the Grizzlies to make this move. And honestly, if this move were to go down, that just means that the Grizzlies is putting a lot of stock in Danny Green, which that remains to be seen. He'll make his debut, of course, tomorrow night in the game against Trailblazers, so we'll see.
Not Daniel's son, not Mr. Miyagi. No.
Stop. I'm ready to just define the word fine, because that's a hell of a way to start this pod. I ain't expect that one, but golly, Trevor.
Oh man, speaking of that, let's go ahead, rewind it back and take it back to the last week. Of course, the Grizzlies had a rough one. They continued to lose a streak on the road. I went up, thought they were lost five in a row after winning 11 in a row. But here we are. They lost five in a row, and we're down by as much as 16, maybe more, to the Indiana Pacers at home before they made the comeback. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson played a lot of minutes to come back in that game. Jaren Jackson had a point to prove because somebody on Reddit tried to come at him this weekend, and he proceeded to get five blocks and told them, you know, hey, the stats speak for itself. I passed the test. So shout out to Jaren for actually, you know, responded to someone on the court and doing it in the correct manner that we've been expecting them to do. So they did break the losing streak by beating Indiana Pacers. I would start by giving in my recap this time so Tuk can go and transition to the next topic as he's going to politely do for us on this episode. But my thoughts, man, rough one. I mean, you talk all this smack and you lose to Golden State again. I mean, again. At Golden State again. You lost at Golden State, what, three times in Golden State in the playoffs last year. You lost to them twice this season in Golden State. Like, at some point, you're going to have to learn how to win on the road. You're now, and I got some stats to back all this stuff up. They are 5-13 against the Western Conference on the road this season. They are 1-10 in their last 11 games against the Western Conference on the road. They've only won one road game since November the 9th. I think that was the last. They beat the Phoenix Suns December 23rd. Outside of that, they haven't won any more road games. They won four to start the season and started out 4-3 on the road overall. So, yeah, it's looking really rough around here on the road. So, they got to figure something out. And like, you know, Tuk said earlier, we're going to define the word fine. So, hey, we got some questions for these guys coming up. So, hey, glad they broke the streak. Hopefully they get another streak going. But it's time to get a little concerned. I think the other part of it is we stood number 2 seed and we're still up by 3 games on the 2 seed. So that's how well we're doing at home, just to really just dominate to that fashion. And only 2 games back on the 1 seed and we were one game back before this losing streak. So kind of wild. Like me, the only team that's doing a little losing, but there's a reason to be just a, you know, a little bit more concerned than we probably were beforehand. But I pass it on down to the corner man, Trail.
Yeah, not the ideal way you want to close out the month of January for the Grizz, because to start 2023, if I'm not mistaken, the Grizz were undefeated. They were undefeated up until the Lakers game, right when the losing streak started. Yeah, there's going to be some – there's this tough times. Obviously, when you call your shot, you better be able to back it up. I mean, to quote the Wire, everyone knows the famous quote, when you come for the king, you best not miss. And as of right now, the Golden State Warriors sitting up top as the reigning defending NBA champions. You had not one, but two opportunities, to prove yourself as one of the top teams in the West. I mean, granted, the standings say so, but let's keep it a bean. Until you beat the Warriors, you're not really saying much. You had two opportunities to do it. You fell flat on your face. Thankfully, the heading back to FedEx Forum, even though it's icy as it is right now, it's a breath of fresh air. But, yeah, there is a lot of concern for this Memphis Grizzlies team. I believe during this losing streak, Memphis has become a little bit more predictable on the offensive side of the ball. They're not getting as many easy baskets as they would have with Steven Adams and Desmond Bane in the lineup. Everyone is just chunking up threes that are not quality three-point shooters, regardless of whoever that person may be. Certain people not getting minutes that should be getting minutes. It was just a mess during this losing streak. So for them to at least close out the month of January with a win says something. But we've said time and time again, this team needs a veteran. We hope that Danny Green is that guy, but you can't have too much shooting. I honestly feel that Memphis needs to make a move at the deadline. And we'll see what may happen in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't believe – I believe it's February 9th. I don't believe that day passes without Kleiman making some type of deal to solidify not only maybe scoring, but even some different presence and defensively as well. You know, there's had some talks to try to get OG, which I think, you know, if you're trading the house for him – am I frozen? Oh, okay. If you trade the house for him, was the three first round picks I've seen and two other players. I mean, go. If you ask me to go for it, because you're not trading away what I believe is the franchise, which is your job, your Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm gonna say that now. He's earned his place for me to tell him that he's part now of this franchise. And so if none of those three players, of course, Steven Adams as well is not part of that deal either, especially with him being hurt and out, go get it. I mean, try it and lock it in and see. I think OG will be a great fit. I haven't seen other reports that I think will move the needle as much for the Grizzlies besides that type of trade. To talk about the week, you know, losing to the Lakers, losing to the Suns, the Kings. I mean, we lost to everyone out West. Every team in California had our name on it, including Sacramento. And, I mean, they beat us down hefty. But that's not the one loss that sticks with me the most or the hardest. It's really the Timberwolves. Because I thought we were past this, right? I thought the game against the Timberwolves would be a redemption for us, especially after we just got done losing to the Warriors. I was hopeful for a game to step up. And you know who stepped up? Slow-mo. Slow-mo stepped up in that game and provided a good 20-plus piece on us. I mean, Rudy Gobert was like, but I mean, he had 7 points, a bunch of rebounds. But the assertions of Slow-mo into that lineup without Cat was huge, and we weren't ready for that or prepared for that. And they won because I think we beat the Timberwolves last time, of course. So they had to repay the favor. So, yeah, we closed out with a game against the Pacers that we win. But to me, of the losses that we've had in this losing streak, that loss to Timberwolves hurts me the most. You know, we might have some opportunities against the Warriors. Yes, you're right, Trevor. But the Timberwolves one, it was like, how? How do we lose to that? But I guess we're fine, though, in the West, though, right?
No. No, we not. And let me tell you this, y'all have been so nice in this podcast, and so kudos to y'all, man. I remember last pod, because we, you know, kind of took, you know, last week and did our thing on the Grid Spaces or whatever. Make sure y'all checked it out. But our last time recording, I brought up the fact that we were close to 500 basketball in the West. And that was after Ja Morant said, hey, we fine in the West. Okay, cool. I brought the concern to y'all. Y'all said y'all weren't concerned. I said I was. The week has passed, and not only did we lose five straight, we lost five straight to Western Conference teams. Like, come on, to the Lakers, who barely may or may – I feel like it's going to be a playoff team that can make some noise down the line if they get their ish together and play on the trade deadline. We'll see. The Phoenix Suns, who I feel like the sun is setting in Phoenix, we still lost to them. Sacramento, we lost to Sacramento, granted one of the top offensive teams in the league, but we lost to them by 33 points. Then, okay, rest the players so we can get ready for our rivalry game. Yes, our rivalry is against the Warriors as of now, ladies and gentlemen. And we still lost to them. 0-2 for the season. And then we come right back and lose to the team that I said that was wanting to whoop our butts, the Timberwolves. That's why they went and traded five picks, you know, for Rudy Gobert. Not for anybody in the Western Conference besides the Memphis Grizzlies. Go ahead, Trevor.
Yeah, only thing I just really quick, I kind of chalk up the Sacramento game as an outlier because Sacramento just could not miss in that game. I think they started out, 10 for 10 from three. Mm-hmm. To start their game like that, I talked the Sacramento game up as an outlier. So that one is fine, but the rest of these games were definitely inexcusable.
Here's why I want to get that, Trevor, because I'm happy you said that. The word defense is what comes to mind when I think about this whole last five game streak, right? And we're gonna put pressure on King Kleiman because we have called him the King, you know, on this podcast. It's time for us to show us where this franchise is heading. And what I mean is that we're, you know, top 10 defensive team this year for sure already. But last year we were number one. Last year we, you know, we quote unquote didn't have the veterans on the team. But at the same time, we had DeAnthony Melton who can come out and guard perimeters, especially coming off the bench. We had a slow-mo who at times we can put into the starting lineup and come off the bench and still guard. Those two players helped us defensively. You take those players out of our rotation, and now we have younger players, which I get what they need to develop, but we need to know, are we going to continue to develop our players, or are we going to go into the direction of win now mode, which I feel like we should be at right now, because the West Conference is still wide open at this point.
May I drop a bomb real quick? To what you said about Kyle Anderson and DeAnthony Melton, it's fine. They're, of course, quote-unquote, were considered the veterans at this time. I believe they're projecting that these two and their production and things of that nature was going to be replaced by our quote-unquote resident veteran of the team, Dylan Brooks, and that hasn't happened. And now you see where we are. And again, we'll see how things shake up come February 9th.
No, actually, it's supposed to be replaced by John Conchar, David Roddy, and Zaire Williams, who especially Zaire has been the most disappointing. That's who's supposed to play their production. And Santi has done his job. Santi Aldama is included in there as well. And Jake LaRavio. Some form of those five was supposed to be like truly replaced both of those productions.
And they failed. And they failed so far. And if we could, you know, I don't know if we're ready to transition into the next topic or not. But I just wanted to define for the ladies and gentlemen that are listening to this great podcast that we do, because you're listening to Grizz fans who are going to keep it real with you, who love the Grizzlies, but hey, we're going to call out the BS. And right now, you know, we call ourselves fine in the West. And if you look up, you know, Google fine, it's a of high quality. And I'm looking at, you know, my three guys right here, and I'm asking y'all just yes or no, are the Grizz playing high quality basketball right now? Just yes or no?
That's a clear answer, no.
Okay, and it says you can go down the adverb in a satisfactory or pleasing manner and or very well. Are the Grizzlies pleasing us right now as fans watching them?
8-13.
Recently, no. But, I mean, it's no, but you got a silver lining. They're still second in the West.
They're second in the West, but my thing, Trevor – we second in the West, and if this team stay pat in the playoffs, we're a worse team than last year in the playoffs. In my opinion.
I agree, because I believe if things stay the same that they were now, and if they're matching up with the seventh seed, which I believe right now would be the Golden State Warriors, and I'll be honest with you, I would pick the Warriors in the seven-game series in that matchup, regardless of the
season. Notice I'm picking them as well, and I think that's the issue, especially if you're a healthy Ja Morant away from the NBA Finals last year.
My opinion, I don't think we're worse. I just don't think we're better. The reason I say that is because Jaren Jackson is better than he was last year. Jaren Jackson in the playoffs last year was basically just as bad as Dylan Brooks, if we want to keep it 100.
So get that man his touches, please.
But we're not, but to your point though, we're not built. We're not, you know, I think we kind of face the same fate we faced last year, pretty much.
I gotta disagree
with Kirk Cousins right now. We not great, we not terrible, we just good. We just
because y'all say we lose to the Warriors in the first round, we lost the Warriors in the second round. You lose to the Warriors, you lose the same team regardless. Any other team, I think we'd beat in the first round potentially. Then it's the Warriors that I'm not fine with. I don't think we're beating.
And that's still the issue, you know what I'm saying? Like, even
I know, I'm saying that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I mean, it's like if we were to face, let's look at the standards right now, just as pack. If we were to play the Nuggets in the playoffs, do you think we can beat the Nuggets in the playoffs? Eventually, even like West Conference, whenever.
Yes.
In seven, yes.
In seven.
Yes, I really do. The Nuggets don't get me like that.
Okay, that's okay. We can put it. We can put
they're
it.
Good, but they're good. I'm not saying we're going to sweep them. But
yeah, I think the Grizz can catch them in seven.
As constructed, can we beat the Kings? Because we just saw them 33 points. That's not a fluke. They've been doing that all season.
I'm not calling the game a fluke. It's just an outlier. There are just nights where teams just do not miss. Like, we saw the Thunder put up 150 against the Celtics. Like, nights like that just happen.
But none of what I'm saying about the Kings is nights like that happen more times than often.
But
that's what I'm saying.
Where the playoff experience is at. That's where once again.
Playoff experience. There you go.
Okay, so y'all got the Grizzlies or the Kings.
I'll go with the Grizzlies.
That's one thing.
Clippers. The healthy Kawhi, healthy Paul George.
That's a question mark, and that's only because
I'm putting a question mark because I think the Clippers are gonna make a move and trade that line. I don't think they're I can't judge them right now as constructed.
No,
cool. As constructed, are we being Luka?
No.
Yeah,
I think we could. Yes.
Who else is outside of Luka on that team that I'm worried about? Yeah.
We've seen Luka single-handedly win playoff series. And you know, in the playoff games, games slow down, and that plays right into Luka Doncic's hands. And we've seen what Luka has done to the Grizzlies in regular season matchups.
I feel like in a seven-game series, the Grizzlies actually being able to prepare adequately. Because most of the time, Luka catches us on a third game in 4 nights. Somebody missing. We never actually played them whole and stuff like that.
Actually preparing for them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, silver lining. I'm with you there. Okay. It's a toss up.
I think to your point too, we're not fine because the definition of fine is we're heading above everybody else. We're at the same level as everybody where we could beat this team, but we also could maybe lose to this team, right? It's not a definitive foul Boston on team we should be worried about.
Because the last team that, like I said, I'm concerned about, and we just lost against them, is the Timberwolves. We lost to them without their arguably second, first best player.
I think they're better than him.
I think we beat the Timberwolves.
Bold take.
They what? No, we know that. He should have been traded.
Yeah, we know that for sure.
Should have been traded.
If they make a move and trade Cat, and you know what I'm saying, and they better without him.
I have heard anything about that. They probably not.
The only thing that I would say about the Timberwolves, trade or not, is they're not trading their head coach.
Bingo.
That's
why I would pick the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm.
But now I say all that just to run down the teams because, like I said, we define the word fine, and I don't see the Grizz being fine no time soon. Like, we still drawing up, you know, plays for Ja Morant. You know, to get to the foul line or get to the paint, you know, at the end of games when we just saw the referees not give LeBron James a call, so make y'all think Ja Morant gonna get the same call. You know what I mean? And it's gonna get worse in the playoffs.
But to your point, we've also seen Ja Morant get to the basket and make some game winners in the playoffs in that same fashion. So it's kind of a slippery slope there. Well, I would say a slippery slope. It's kind of like apples and oranges. But again, to Sharky's point, it's these free throws, man. That bothers me that the Grizzlies as a team have the worst percentage out of all 30 teams right now at just below 75%. That is terrible. I'm sorry.
Is it terrible or just – oh, go ahead.
Okay. I was about to say what hurt me is Desmond Bane. That Golden State game, him missing two clutch free throws, he's our best. When I saw that, that's what I was like, oh, I don't think we're getting better than free throws. If our best free throw shooter who's shooting almost 90%, who is actually shooting less than that this year, 82-ish percent now, and he was shooting like 90% the last 2 years, if he missing clutch free throws, I don't know.
Yeah, and the thing about Memphis, before you go back to this, great water, great barbecue, we're going to miss free throws. That's Memphis, baby. We're going to miss them free throws. No matter if you're in a Tigers uniform or a Grizzlies uniform, baby, we ain't going to hit them free throws.
Man, it's tough. It's true.
It's tough. But it's tough.
I just want Memphis fans who listen to this podcast to temper your expectations. That's the last I want to say because, in my opinion, we're not a better team than last year. Sharky, you said we're kind of right here. I disagree, but that, you know, we can agree to disagree, whatever. We're not the same team as last year. So, Grizz fans, let's temper your expectations until we know for sure what King Kleiman does at the trade deadline.
And may I add to this that Tuke has said, we are at this point right now, as I said that we're recording, we are 8-13 against Western Conference teams that are right now seeded from 1-10. So that when you need numbers, ain't no number greater than wins and losses. 8-13 against those teams that are right now sitting in seeds 1-10, of course, excluding us at number 2, is not a good or it's not a fine sign at this point.
Yep, man. And like Tuke said earlier, man, we had to have tough conversations about the team. They do have a better record than they had at this point last year. They are at the better position. Well, at the same position. No, actually better because they were number 3 at this time last year. But like you said, when you're thinking championship team now, we're not thinking just make the playoffs. You know, last year was a surprise year. Every year since Josh's been here, it's been a surprise. They ain't supposed to be competing for a playoff squad his rookie year. They were. The second year, we didn't supposed to be in the play-in, get into the playoffs. We did. Last year, we ain't supposed to be the number 2 seed, potentially a Ja Morant injury away from going to NBA Finals. We were. So, I wait on development at this point. I posted a meme in our group me earlier. I put F them picks. Like, at this point, you got a bunch of rookies that you drafted these last couple of years. At some point, you're going to run out of roster space. You can't keep holding on to these first-round picks going forward. I was against trading all these picks for potentially OG Anunoby before. I'm all for it now. Like, if them picks, what they want for OG? I know one thing: he could defend, he could hit in 3. Danny Green come back, he do the same. I want them to find a way to get OG and keep Danny Green while getting him. That means
and I think
part way Dylan Brooks.
And my apologies. And I believe once we get OG, well, if we were to get OG, but I'm speaking into existence. Once we get OG, he even stays another year. It's not like a rental, so to speak, we have him for the rest of the year. We have him for another year as well for developing purposes. And to see if we want to keep him, and I would.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury. Not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
And can I ask y'all Grizz fans this, bro? And when I say this, I mean y'all. How much are we really, us four, Are we really putting on a healthy Danny Green to come and contribute? Because if you look at his numbers from last season, he was averaging 5.6 points a game. He's 35 years old. And if you were to look on Twitter, you would have thought this guy was the second coming of Shane Battier or something. How much are y'all, my guys right here, putting into Danny Green? And how long do y'all give him before Grizz Nation be like, oh, he's washed? Because I'm yet to see that. And I'm been on that. Like, I'm not expecting much from him, honestly.
Oh, so me personally, he's coming back for 20 ACL, age 35. I'm not expecting much definitely from the get-go. I'm expecting by playoff time, because shooters know how to shoot no matter what. Now, I'm thinking by playoff time, he still can be able to hit an open three-pointer, and he's going to get open opportunities with Ja Morant on the court. So I'm expecting that, and I'm expecting some form of veteran leadership, which the team is missing. I need a veteran who's been there, done that, to be able to calm the guys down in timeouts and clutch situations and all that. So that's what I'm expecting. I'm not expecting, like you said, how Grizz Twitter is talking. They talking like, you know, like you said, second coming in Shane Battier. And yeah, I don't expect like to the extent that much from him.
Yeah, I think all this expectation comes from what he is going to be asked to do. And given his track record and pretty much him being proven, he actually can knock down some open threes pretty well, with the exception of the bubble. But we all said the bubble was an outlier. Just ask fellow Laker fans who had to deal with Danny Green not being able to hit an open three. But, yeah, I would kind of pump the brakes just a little bit, just tamper your expectations just a little bit. But I think, again, it's coming from what he's being asked to do. And if you can basically say, okay, stand here in the corner, the ball comes your way and you're wide open, shoot the three, knock it down. The corner is the shortest distance of from the shortest three that you can shoot. So pretty sure Danny Green, as long as he, you know, is able to stay healthy and he can move, pretty sure he can knock down two or three threes a night from the corner. I mean, it's not that bad.
I think the excitement could come because he's going against the second unit at all times. He's not going to be a starter per se, as he's been in other roles, which is perfect for him. At his age, coming off his injury, and yes, I expect him to give you, to be honest with you, I would expect 8 points. That's my expectation for him once he gets things like rolling. And again, this is 8 points against the second team, right? He's not going against the OGs, right? The first round players. And once they see those other players coming in, hey, Jenkins, boop, boop, get them on out of there, and let's put some real guys in there. But against the second string, yeah, I think he gave us 8 points a night. I can see that happening. But no more. Now, he's not giving you double digits, baby. He ain't doing that.
I hope nobody expected.
I hope nobody expecting him to come in averaging 12 to 15, because, no, that's definitely not happening.
It took, what you thinking?
I like the 8 points. I'm just worried about the perimeter defense from the bench. Because, like I said, outside of Dylan Brooks, who are a perimeter deep defenders on the Grizz team. You know what I'm saying? You know, Bane cool, you know, coming from injury, doing this thing, we can kind of count them in that. But outside of them two, like, who guarding the perimeter?
And to your point, that's why he traded for OG. And
that's why Zaire was disappointed.
And that's why Zaire was getting minutes in the Golden State game, because of his defense. So,
yeah. And
there you go.
Get started on that last play. Golly. Yeah. But yeah, that was the Zaire role, man.
Zaire, I've been trying to take up for you, man, but you're making it hard this season, dog. You're making it hard for me. I'm still on the Zaire bandwagon, but you're making it hard for me, bro.
I tell you now, if Toronto said they want Zaire for OG, you make the chunk and deuces. And I like Zaire too, but hey, OG is still young. Hey, I know what you got in him. Oh, man. But all right, moving forward, going forward. And you know what? Just going back to Danny Green, average 8 points. Anthony Melton average, his highest was 10.8. So Danny Green gave you 8. I mean, hey, that's not too far off. That's not nothing to slouch at. But I think going back to with Danny Green, his perimeter defense, he's always been known as 3-and-D guy. At his age, that's what you're thinking. Like, oh, I don't know, his defense is going to be there. So that's going to be the real question with him, is the defensive end. As on the offensive end, I expect him to make threes.
And that benefits with him playing against the second unit, so he doesn't have to guard your top-tier players. So there you go.
Yep. But coming forward, speaking of Danny Green, he is playing his first game against the Portland Trail Blazers coming up this week. I'm pretty sure he's not going to play it back-to-back, so they do play at Cleveland the next night. So they play Portland at home Wednesday in the ice outside. So hopefully we get some fans at the game because, you know, how Memphis are when weather gets bad out here and driving. We saw all that today. But they play at Cleveland the next night on TNT, a national TV game. So I already know what my prediction is for that game. And they play Toronto Sunday. Speaking of Toronto, go and smack them up and try to make the trade right after the game. So what y'all got for this week? Portland at Cleveland and Toronto back here.
I'm going to stick with history on my side, man. I'm going to go 2-1 with the loss on TNT to the Cavaliers.
Hey, you made that short and sweet. Yeah, I was waiting for you to give a little more on that one. I didn't want to cut your monologue right there, player. But give me 2-1 as well. I think even like the back-to-back playing against Cleveland, going from the snowy temperatures, and, you know, it's going to be snowing in Cleveland too, so it's going to be a little bumpy getting in there, all that stuff, and leaving out. And so I think the thing of the weather will hurt us and be a concern, along with we're not going to bring probably everyone anyway for a back-to-back because we're coming right back. And when we play Toronto, listen, if Zaire's got to sit out, OG got to sit out, and a few other players got to sit out to make something happen, we are already here. Zaire can jump on the flight back with y'all. OG can stay right here with us. And we good. And I'll take two. Matter of fact, we could lose that game, God dog. We could be 1-2. If we get OG, I'm good.
Love it. I love it.
Oh, man, it's funny that you said 1-2 because that's definitely what I got us going. Until further notice, because the Grizz really pissed me off this week, bro. I'm not going to lie, bro. Like, y'all said y'all fine, and then y'all lose 5 straight against Western Conference teams. And with the Trailblazers, it could be 6. So I'm going to say if it's a dogfight and we in a, you know, who going to close this game out, y'all bet y'all bottom dollar. I'm putting my money on Dame Dollar. Outside of John, I love me some Grizz. I know about John, but shoot, if it's gonna be Dame time, it's gonna be Dame time. And you know, that could be the reason we lose that game. So give me a loss against them, give me a loss against the Cavaliers team, who won is on TNT, which is our TNT curse. And for 2, it was a really close game against Cleveland last time, so I'm pretty sure they got that in their back pocket as well. And then 3, of course, Toronto, that interior defense ain't too good. I think John probably put up 30 that game and get us that dub.
Yeah, plus Donovan Mitchell are probably playing in this game too, more than likely.
See, there we go. See?
Yep. And you know, LBR, we live by consistency is key. And consistently, the Grizzlies have 1 home game. They are 21-3 at home and 10-2 against the West. They are going 2-1 this week. They lose road games, they win home games. Simple as that. They're going to win the 2 home games against Portland and Toronto. They can go ahead and make their trade at halftime like they tried to do when they tried to sneak Marshawn Brooks instead of Dylan Brooks in the game in the fourth quarter, or whoever they were playing that night, to Phoenix. They could do pull that stuff this time on Sunday, but actually do it correctly and get OG to stay in Memphis and not have to fly back to Toronto.
That almost was the heist of the century there. We almost snatched up Kelly Oubre for virtually nothing. But it's what it
is. When we at that game, Shark, we was at the game and Marcus all just came out and waved to the crowd and everything. Wasn't it that night?
That wasn't that one. That was the – I remember that was against Minnesota. That one we talking about now, that was on TV. That was on TV. Okay. Yeah, that was later in the season. I think it was the same season. It was later. It was like round trade deadline. Yep. But, man, that does it, man. Another fun episode. Hey, Grizz talk, man. The Grizz is our good team. We know that. But, hey – when you actually get the expectation that you want more and you say you're fine in the West, we're going to match your expectations. So we don't see if we're going to call you out. So, hey, John Moran and them, they know what they got to do. They know that not only us, not only Grizz Nation, but the whole NBA are they on their head right now. So they got to step up to the plate. And Zach Kleiman need to make some moves if need be. But, of course, y'all know y'all can follow us on Twitter at StartFiveNumFiveMEM. Follow the Grizzly Red Blues, SBN Grizzlies. And check out the other podcast on the network, GBB Live Podcast, Score 4 Podcast, Next Gen, and Grizzly Bear Bets. Also, check out all the articles at Sparkle Hills doing like some trade move articles right now at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. But remember, always follow me on Twitter at @DaOne_PShark.
Yeah, I'm at the Art of Trevor. You know, of is a preposition, so don't capitalize the O in that word. Yeah, this may be the last day at Dylan Brooks Island.
And I know that stock is low and I'm not buying that one. It's really shitty, man. Hey, OG.
Man, look, if this is the last time you were pointed at Dylan Brooks Island, I promise you we're going to throw a party somewhere. I got you, wherever island you want to go to. But just let y'all know, Grizz fans, we ain't fine at all. We ain't fine at Tev Shakir. Y'all can at me at the bottom if you're watching. At me, let me know what y'all think. But we ain't fine, especially compared to the definition that we define on this episode.
That's tough. All right, remember, follow our fifth member, _ Skylito. Until next time, Grizz Station. And hopefully we have some moving parts next time. Go Grizz.
Go Grizz.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.